This is The Political Scene, a weekly conversation with New Yorker writers and editors about politics. It's Friday, October 26th. I'm Dorothy Wickenden, executive editor of The New Yorker. Today is the sixth and final episode of The Challengers, a monthly segment devoted to the 2018 midterm races. We've been focusing on races involving candidates challenging establishment figures as a way to discuss upheavals outside Washington and to define issues that are shaping the futures of the two parties. Donald Trump carried Missouri by 19 points in 2016. This year, the incumbent Democratic Senator Claire McCaskill is running for re-election in possibly the tightest Senate race of the midterm elections. Her opponent, Josh Hawley, is a Trump Republican. In a recent interview with the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, when McCaskill was asked what distinguished her from Hawley, she listed her experience in a wide range of state, local, and federal government offices and positioned herself as a solid centrist.
So I think I bring that, a broad depth and breadth of knowledge that I can put to work for Missourians that my opponent doesn't have, and also my desire to work with the other party. I don't think the answer is in one party or the other. I think the answer is through us trying to figure out places that we can find common ground. I think that makes me much different than my opponent.
Hawley, for his part, has adopted the populist rhetoric of Trumpism. In August, he lambasted McCaskill as a member of the Washington elite.
Claire McCaskill is elected by the good conservative people of Missouri, but she takes her orders from the liberal elites in Hollywood and Washington. For too long, she has been representing them and not us. Well, I tell you what, not anymore. This year, we will take back Missouri's Senate seat for the people of Missouri and send Claire McCaskill home.
Nicholas Lemon joins me to discuss a question that politically engaged people have spent the last year debating. At a time when there are few swing voters left, should politicians try to rouse voters' passions or focus on the issues that affect their everyday lives? For Claire McCaskill, who hopes to win a third term, the answer to this question is a matter of political life and death. Hi, Nick.
Hello.
I think we didn't know when we started talking about which Democrat you might profile this year just how close this race would be and just how different the two candidates would be. We've got the two-term 65-year-old career politician, McCaskill. Obviously, Hawley is the 38-year-old state attorney general. She's folksy and frank. He constantly accuses her of being a far-left liberal who is threatening the American way of life. When you first went out to Missouri, and I think it was last spring, what struck you most about the two campaigns?
So Hawley is really interesting in the sense that who he is running as and who he appears to be is not who he was as recently as summer of 2017. Not that he wasn't always conservative, but he was a very brilliant, well-groomed, young conservative intellectual who wrote really serious, really conservative and careful scholarship. He published a biography of Theodore Roosevelt. He published several long, very dense law review articles. And, you know, superbly well-educated Supreme Court clerk for the Chief Justice, etc. There's no hint in there of a person who is going to fall in love with Donald Trump and go on and on about how, you know, terrorists are crossing our border to murder us and things like that.
So what happened? Aside from the election of Donald Trump.
That's a very good question. Sometime around fall 2017, about a year ago, Josh Hawley just by sincere conversion or political decision-making decided to go full Trump. And he's now as Trumpy as you can get. So you don't hear about how after college he went and taught in a 300-year-old boys' prep school in London and things like that. Mm-hmm. Or you don't hear about how he went to Stanford and Yale. Instead, you hear about he's a farm boy from, you know, rural Missouri, and he's an evangelical Christian, and he just hates Washington out-of-state liberals, and he loves Donald Trump. So it's interesting, you know, he's running the national campaign. Claire McCaskill, on the other hand, really is the same person she's been. This is her 23rd race for office, and she's an unapologetic, lifelong politician starting in high school. She's very Missouri. Arguably, she now lives outside Missouri as a U.S. senator. But even if that's true, she never lived outside the state until she was well into her 50s. And she's always been, you know, kind of aggressively moderate and centrist and gone around saying things like, I'm not a liberal. And that's who she is. So she's running on her playbook and running on, I do stuff for people in Missouri. He's running on, if you like Trump and hate Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, I'm your guy.
So how does she deal with Trump? You were out there and you listened to her give a speech at a big Democratic fundraiser.
She talks about Trump as little as possible. Trump is popular in Missouri, and she's made a calculation that it's okay to attack, you know, Mitch McConnell, but it's not okay to attack Donald Trump. So the less she can say about Donald Trump, the better. She'll attack Hawley, but she will not attack Trump.
And do you mentioned in the piece that you just did for us, it's just out this week, under the old rules of politics, she would have had the clear advantage. The president's party usually loses in midterm elections in Congress, and voters tend to stick to incumbents. So do the old rules just not apply anymore?
Well, we're getting a test of that in this race and some other races like it. You know, she should, as a centrist incumbent who spends huge amounts of time touring the state, doing kind of not very glamorous but real things to deliver for the people back home, that should be a good formula for her.
And endless town halls. Hasn't she given something like 50 town hall meetings? More,
it's way above 50
wow.
now. You know, but the increased polarization of the country, which is a really mega development in American politics, means that a person who voted for a Republican for president may not be willing 2 years later to vote for a Democrat for senator. And again, this race is a really good test of that proposition.
Missouri does have obvious similarities with some of the other farm states, and many of which we've talked about on this program, Oklahoma, Wisconsin, Kansas. You quote a former Democratic politician in your piece, Bob Holden, as saying that the mid-2000s really marked a turning point in the middle of the country when manufacturing jobs, you could really see them leaving. Their drug use was on the rise. And McCaskill talked to you about this, too, the reasons Democratic voters have just been on the wane.
It's worth remembering a couple things. First, Missouri historically in local politics was more Democratic than Republican. But what that means is if things go wrong, it's easy to blame the Democrats for their going wrong. Also remember, in 2008, Barack Obama lost Missouri by one half of a point. It was his closest state that he didn't win. And then you go he lost his reelection campaign in Missouri by 10 points. And then by 2016, it was almost 20 points. Clearly, people in Missouri think we've been left behind. Something's happening in the country, and we don't know exactly what it is, but we sort of feel in our gut, especially rural people, that this isn't working out well for us. A bunch of people use this language, including McCaskill with me. You know, when people voted for Trump, they knew they were voting for somebody who was going to blow up the system. They wanted somebody who was going to blow up the system. I don't think people were voting for policies. I think they were voting for somebody who could get up and say, I understand how angry and done to you feel, and I feel the same way, and I hate the same people you hate, and I'm going to fight for you.
So what are her issues?
So her number one issue is pre-existing conditions, and that's because Hawley, who's currently the Attorney General of Missouri, joined a lawsuit with 20 other Republican attorneys general to essentially overcome Obamacare. She thinks that's her big issue to run against him on. But beyond that, you know, Claire McCaskill talks about things like the price of soybeans, whether veterans who live in very rural areas get gas mileage reimbursement for driving to VA hospitals. It's very, very granular, protecting veterans, protecting seniors, public education, all those kind of we're going to make your everyday life work at a really basic level, and we're not going to give you a lot of grand thematics.
It's the old, old idea, all politics is local. She just has stuck to that. McCaskill did vote with her party against the Supreme Court nominations of Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, but she was really careful about how she explained those decisions to her constituents. And maybe let's just focus on the Kavanaugh hearings because they were so spectacular.
The Kavanaugh hearings— You remember there's a week where the Washington Post does that interview with Christine Blasey Ford, and it becomes clear that she's going to testify. And then everything's about that for the next 2 weeks up to confirmation. So before that, when McCaskill saw this coming, she issued a statement saying she was going to vote against Kavanaugh. And she said, I'm voting against Kavanaugh, and the reason I'm voting against Kavanaugh is not Christine Blasey Ford, which she said explicitly. Instead, one of the emails that got released from when he was in the White House, in the Bush White House, he says something indicating that he thinks campaign finance contribution limits are unconstitutional. And that really bothers me, McCaskill, and that's why I'm voting for against him. So she sort of got it out there, all of which was politically smart on her part, because she understood, as you know, people in the Northeast maybe didn't, that this whole drama was not going to play anti-Kavanaugh in Missouri, as indeed it's not.
And in other red states. So it's fascinating to look at what's happened to Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota, who voted for Gorsuch but against Kavanaugh. And she made her decision after the Blasey Ford testimony and made it all about sexual assault. And her,
polls went
way down.
And where Joe Donnelly in Indiana did the same thing.
And so how's he doing?
He's, you know, it's not as lost a race as Heitkamp's race seems to be. But in purely political terms, McCaskill played it smarter by sort of sensing that this vote wasn't going to help her in Missouri and she needed to sort of get herself out of the stage. However, you know, she did vote against both Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. So she's willing to be a loyal Democrat. She's walking a line where she's not like Joe Manchin in West Virginia, kind of all but a Republican, but she's not a National Democrat by any means either.
Hi, it's David Remnick. If you're enjoying this podcast, you might enjoy even more of what The New Yorker has to offer. Becoming a subscriber gives you unlimited access to The New Yorker, including Pulitzer Prize-winning reporting, insightful cultural commentary, and fiction and poetry. You'll also enjoy our delightful cartoons, crossword puzzles, narrated stories, and much more. This past year, our readers were gripped by Ronan Farrow's profile of Elon Musk, Heidi Blake's extraordinary tale about Dubai's runaway princesses, and much more. Visit NewYorker.com to gain access to all this and more. Use the code POD15, P-O-D-1-5, to secure a 15% discount on a yearly digital subscription. That's POD15 for a 15% discount.
So another subject of discussion since the rise of Trump has been the split between urban and rural voters, and that's true within states as it is in the country at large. What role did McCaskill play during the unrest in Ferguson in 2014, and why has she done so much of her campaigning this year in rural areas where she's not particularly popular?
Okay, so let me work my way back to Ferguson and explain the second question first. Armchair psychology. McCaskill has won, so she's run 23 times. The 23rd race is not decided yet. Of the first 22, she won 21 and lost one. The one she lost was running for governor in 2004. She is so Missouri-focused. You know, basically everybody who knows her thinks she'd really much rather be governor of Missouri living in Jefferson City than U.S. Senator living in Washington. So she challenged an incumbent Democrat, Bob Holden, and she won. She beat an incumbent fellow Democrat, and she thought she'd cruise to victory against a rather young, inexperienced Republican opponent who beat her. She was completely devastated, and she's really obsessed with that defeat. And the reason she thinks she lost is she thought she could run up big margins in St. Louis and Kansas City and she'd win. So she kind of came out of that and said, I'm never, ever, ever again going to ignore rural Missouri. So she spends what from the outside would seem like a kind of absurd amount of time in little towns, you know, campaigning in places she'll lose. She's just obsessed with this, that she got out of touch with rural Missouri and she's never going to do it again. Okay, so with Ferguson, when Ferguson happened, she was notably to the left of Missouri's Democratic governor at the time, Jay Nixon, and kind of more sympathetic to the protesters. And she proposed legislation to sort of what she called demilitarize the police.
But she also was a former prosecutor, so she had kind of earned her creds on the tough on crime.
She had. But I think the truth is Obama, especially in 2008, was unbelievably exciting to black voters in Missouri and you know, brought these unheard-of turnouts. She will carry black voters, but I think she thinks no matter what I do, I'm not going to be as exciting as Obama, and I'm not going to get that kind of turnout. So she's had a little bit of a rocky relationship with the black community in Missouri. She had a tough choice to make. There was a long, long, long time ally of hers, the St. Louis County prosecutor, who was running for re-election. He's the person who decided not to prosecute the officer who shot Michael Brown. And she endorsed him for re-election, and he lost to a black challenger who ran against him on that issue. So there again, she seemed kind of out of touch with black constituents in St. Louis.
What does she say about the common complaint we were always hearing among Democrats about their own party and how the party doesn't have a strong, clear message?
She has a take on that. Most people who say that would not like her version of the strong, clear message. But she has a pretty clear answer to that, which is, you know, we're the party that fights for the little guy in the form of using government as an instrument to meet your everyday needs. It's not, you know, socialism, crusading for social justice, all that stuff. It's just, you know, I know what you want. You want health care. You want schools. You want safe streets. You want your retirement benefits. You want your veterans benefits. That's what I'm here for.
So there are only 12 days to go before the election. How is Hawley going after her in this final round?
Well, you know, as we're recording, tonight is their third and last debate. The first debate, Hawley was really on full bore attack. The second debate—
Focusing on what? Let me just ask you.
Well, he said at one point, McCaskill wants the government to force illegal immigrants to have abortions, which I thought was a great trifecta of themes. And so it seems like he was told to tone it down because he was much more respectful and friendly in the second debate. And so it'll be interesting what he does at the last debate. On his Twitter feed, in his speeches, it's just, I'm running against the hated, you know, Washington, Hollywood, liberal establishment, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Hillary Clinton. Oh, by the way, there's this person, Claire McCaskill, in the picture. But he's really nationalizing the election and making it about all the people you're supposed to hate and then Trump, who you're supposed to love.
I was just noticing before we came upstairs, have you seen the most recent McCaskill ad where she has voters talking about why they support McCaskill? And one of them says, yep, Claire's not one of those crazy Democrats. She works right in the middle and finds a compromise, especially when it comes to protecting things right here in Missouri. So I guess that's how she's fighting.
That's her message, and that's always been her message. That's what she says about herself.
So what do the current polls show in Missouri?
It's, as we would say in Missouri, it's tighter than a tick. It's basically a tie in most of the polls. all the major trusted rating services like, you know, Charlie Cook and 538 and Real Clear Politics and so on still rate Missouri as a toss-up. Hawley seems to have gained some ground, but it's basically a tie and it's going to go right down to the wire.
Thanks so much, Nick.
Okay.
Nick Lemon is a staff writer and the author of The Promised Land, The Great Black Migration, and How It Changed America. This has been The Political Scene from The New Yorker. You can subscribe to this and other New Yorker podcasts by searching for The New Yorker in your podcast app and find more political analysis and commentary on newyorker.com. Feel free to rate and review The Political Scene on Apple Podcasts. This program is produced by Alex Barron and Hannah Wilentz for newyorker.com. I'm Dorothy Wickenden.
Hi, this is David Remnick. We've just launched a new project that I want to tell you about, the New Yorker's Midterms 2018 newsletter. Every week, our writers and editors will check in from the campaign trail to tell you exactly what's happening across the country and why it matters. The newsletter is only running through the November midterm elections, so sign up now at newyorker.com/midterms-newsletter. That's newyorker.com/midterms-newsletter.